So this morning, waste management is coming by. We got garbage. You know, so I had to get the garbage guy to come and get this. Come and get this. Here's $20. Get rid of this, would you? And he grabbed me. I said, no, not me.
You ever thought about launching a second career doing stand-up?
As long as I can do it from home.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's all on video now. That's right.
I hope you're using all this stuff and you're just not recording it, because I'll smack you. In my A material.
That's right. We
haven't officially started the podcast yet. Don't worry. We are the interview. We haven't.
You haven't pressed record yet?
Well, no, we're pressing record.
But I totally hit pressed record, but
we haven't even introduced you yet. We haven't started.
My record
show.
Company is there, and they're Italians. They're infected.
Oh man, of course they are. Yeah, I never thought.
Look, you know what it teaches us? Oh, Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Human Species, you're nothing.
No.
That's it. We think. You know what? We're the only species. Are you recording this? Don't make me repeat this. Are you ready?
I'm ready. We're go. Yeah. But you know what? Let's tell everybody who we're talking to.
Oh, it doesn't even matter. Tell them later. Just hearing me, right. Well, they'll be interested immediately. Lady! That guy. So, so anyway, we're the only species that, as far as we know, that knows we're finite. That explains a lot of stupid behavior I see in human beings over the centuries and millennia. Now, what we've done because of that is we've convinced ourselves, perhaps needlessly, that we're in control of things. Well, a little, but not really. The universe decides. So what we're going through right now is a reminder to all of us globally who have divided ourselves by color, religion, politics. I'm in that team, you're on that tribe, we only do this over here, you only do that, put a hat on when you go there. Guess what? Like the Grand Illusion, deep inside we're all the same. We're one species on this planet, and no matter how we distract ourselves, whether we listen to Styx and Dennis DeYoung, because he makes us not think about we're going to die, or whatever it is, you know, we fill our heads with anything to keep us happy. Ultimately, there's a reality to all this, and this is a reminder. And the only good I hope that comes of this is it allows us a moment worldwide to slow down just for a second and take a look around, and perhaps we will be able to say to ourselves, well, maybe that thing over there wasn't that important. You know, that's my only hope, because right now, you know, it feels like a poop storm to me.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know what? There's all the needless fighting of people that, you know, instead of trying to find a way to come together and respect other people's opinions, it's so much hatred over disagreements on things that, at the end of the day, how much do they matter?
Okay.
You know, and maybe this is, you're right, maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe this is what humanity needed.
Did you listen to With All Due Respect?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I feel you're calling me an asshole.
You just defined that record that I made, which I'm saying to the, you know, to talk political talk radio, the punditry, both in the right, the left, the newspapers, the magazines, on TV. Shut up! Here's what it is. In order to look at, you know what they figured out? They figured out this, that if we take the extremes on either side, stick them in a WWF ring, put them, a microphone in front of them, and let them go at each other like the mooks they are, we'll get eyeballs, we'll get ears, well, people will tune in to see the theater, to see the blood sport. And they do this knowingly, these people, to sell you and me potato chips and beer and insurance policies. They are destroying the fabric of our democracy by pretending it's news and it's something important that they're conveying, when all they are doing is exacerbating the differences between us. And they are not, my friends, as great as the media portrays them. They blow everything up and make it look worse than it is to sell goods and services. That's dangerous to our democracy. It's dangerous to the social fabric. And I say, with all due respect, your turn.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, I was very offended recently. They had of course, they've been having the debates, they're trying to pick the one candidate. And one of the news stations, the national news outlets, which I won't mention which one, but it doesn't really matter because I'm sure they're all doing it. It was promoting this debate the exact same way that I had seen a boxing match promoted earlier. You know, with the exact same, presenting it like a sporting event. And I thought, this is, what are we watching here? What is the purpose of this?
Well, right now it's the only sporting event.
Yeah, I want your listeners, remember, how old are you guys?
47. Well,
we're in our mid-40s.
Okay. You're still old enough to remember that when somebody used to interrupt the program, you gulped.
Yes.
Bringing you breaking news, you said, oh my God, there's a flood and a famine, locust. Not anymore. It's Chicken Little, 24/7, from everybody. Breaking news. No, it isn't. You've been talking about this for the last 2 hours. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong
at all.
But I'm thinking to myself, how does that help us? It does. You want to cause anxiety? Keep doing that. And why? It's not for the betterment of humankind. It is not.
It's not, because they're not discussing issues at all. They're only bringing up the things which the breaking news is the things which they believe will create viewers and create ratings. I mean, there's so many important news cut stories that never bother that actually affect people. They never get touched upon at all.
Well, we want these gladiators. These shadrules from the left and the right to get in there and bloody each other up and say, see, this is wrong. This is what's wrong with us. I think to myself, where are the people that represent me? And I talked, I traveled the country. And sure, there were people who were, they picked their team, they picked their tribe, and they're not letting go. But there's a bunch of us out there that go, wait a minute. Historically speaking, this side has had some good ideas, and so has that one. Mm-hmm. And now they pretend like the other side has never had a good idea. And it fuels our anxiety and our anger. Please make it stop.
Well, and it's interesting because even nowadays, with all the things that are closing down, all the human interest stories, I'm finding that people in the news, they're still, when they go for an interview, it's like they're not poking at the right parts. They're poking at, like, they just want to incite. They're there to incite as opposed to tell anything of interest and of value.
Yes. That's why I wrote "With All Due Respect." I wrote it because don't tell me, you guys, that you haven't sat there and listened to somebody either on the radio or the TV and wanted to yell at them. You are, who are all these, every day now, because it's no longer news channels or political arms of parties, I think to myself, they line up a panel of experts. No, they're not. They're like a bunch of kids and idiots to me. What are they doing up there? And, well, I believe, who gives a shit what you think? Earn your stripes. Shut up. Again, every day, if you go to find out what's happening, you got to wait to find out. You still don't know. And they've all chosen sides now, trying to appeal to a market. This is wrong. And I fear for our democracy and the way in which we, the citizens, look at each other. And having said, I'm going to go.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I off my? I feel like I sound like Dennis Miller, not Dennis DeYoung. But
no, but it's true. I mean, it's an interesting discussion. It's certainly not. Somehow listening to you and hearing this. I mean, I remember. I think it was 2004. I think Jon Stewart, who was the host of The Daily Show, was on Crossfire, and they thought he was going to be funny. And he literally sat there and told the two hosts, "What you're doing is harming America." You know, and the show was canceled shortly afterwards. He was telling them, you guys are sitting here and you're fighting and you're presenting yourselves as so radically different, and there's no discussion actually happening. And that was 16 years ago. And since that time, it's, instead of getting better, it's gotten worse.
Well, historically speaking, I think you could look back to the Gore Vidal, William F. Buckley things that started it when they put them together way back in the 60s. And everyone in the news went, whoa, people tuned in to see that. Because these are brilliant, articulate people from opposite ends of the spectrum in the same room. And it is fascinating, and it is entertaining. But, folks, it can be our undoing. And anyway, let's move on to my rest of my record. Otherwise, I sound like I'm running for office.
There you go. Well,
I'd vote for you.
I'd vote for you, but we can't. But the truth is, Vuvuzela. Really, that's. I just wanted to say that, and I'm so happy that you played it.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. Oh, okay. Then, see? There you go. Now I'm fixed.
Do you know what those are?
No.
Soccer horns. Those real long soccer horns are really loud. That's what that is. Excellent. I was making a joke. You know, it's my sense of humor. Since Peter Rick and I played a bunch of instruments on this album, I added that one. Of course, we didn't play it because it's so damn loud.
Well, and I mean, Jim Peterick, he's one of my favorite people. I loved having him on the show. We chatted about you, actually, and it's so great because, you know, he's such a great songwriter, and knowing that he's involved with 26 East is fantastic. I mean, the songs are great, and the one thing that I'll note, too, about it is that you have a lot of songs that kind of go between, like, With All Due Respect, but you've also got the optimistic side. But The Promise of This Land seems really strong, especially right now.
Well, thank you. Let's talk about Peterick for just a second, because I don't like him that much. did you know his hair is naturally purple? He was born with purple hair, and his mother started dyeing his hair brown all these years. And then just in the last few years, he's let it go natural purple. Anyway... Hey, Jimmy. Yeah, look, this is three interviews in a row. One in California, one in England, and now you, who have brought up The Promise of This Land. Now, I thought that was going to fall by the wayside. When I got to create this record, because I didn't want to do it, because Peterick had to talk me into doing it, because the music business is a shambles, and particularly for rock music, there's no forum. Radio's gone. You know, new rock music, please. It's a joke, and I didn't feel the need to make more music if there was no way to communicate with an audience. I don't need money. I mean, I want you to buy this record so I can keep score. Honest to God, that's it. Oh, look at how many people like it. But quite frankly. The whole deal was to hear me, to be like the Beatles. They wanted to hear me on the radio, right? That's the thrill. So I thought, Jim, stop bothering me. Dennis, the world needs your music. Jim, have them text me. Everyone in the world text me to tell me they need this music. I'll make it. So when I wrote this record, I thought, I don't have to be worried about the radio. You always had to have your ear to the radio in the old days to get airplay. That's how you reached your fans. The only way, you know, you couldn't put your thing up on the internet. What are you talking about? The radio, they determine what your fan base heard. So I said, I don't worry about it. I'll make the songs I want to make. We'll get one more beep and it'll be done. La, 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 la. I'm going to sing during the interim of the. Okay. So I wrote The Promise of This Land. It doesn't repeat any section. Everything's new every time a thing happens. And I would have never done that if I didn't have the freedom to do what I want, which I did on this record. And The Promise of This Land is my way of saying, because I've got, with all due respect, and I've got A Kingdom Ablaze, which are pretty pointed at what I see as things that could be made better and corrected in this country of ours. And I start by just explaining the dream. The people who founded this country, flawed. They were flawed. They were just dreamers. They came up with this thing, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, blah, 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 blah. This is an ideal. This has never been the way this country works, and hopefully it will at some point, but certainly not now. And I thought, okay, the first verse is the dream, the one we dream about, what it's supposed to mean. And then the song progresses both musically, tempo-wise, and mood changes to discuss what really is this country. And then I end it, by saying, this is not the promised land. This is only a dream that offers the promise of this land. It's up to people in it. The pluribus unum, from the many one, us, you, me, the other guy that we don't like so much. Look at how he's looking at us over here. All of us got to come together at some point and realize this for the common good of the country, not of us as individuals, which becomes more and more difficult every day because of our I, me, my. We're the me culture, the I culture, particularly with social media, and everything is about me now, and I pick my own playlist on this. Well, we got to find, we got to come together here someplace if we want this thing to work. So to me, it isn't not the promised land. It's the promise of this land. It's up to us in it to figure out some common ground. Give here, give that guy there this way. That's how we reach it. And the song ends in a rock gospel thing with the gospel choir singing to the promised land, the promised land, to the promise of this land. It's hopeful. But jury's out, kids, and it is up to us. And I thank you for appreciating that song.
Well, I mean, honestly, I know I really appreciate the entire album. I think it does a great job of going through the sticks sound, but also going into like the theater sound and that whole rock opera style, and into just stuff like you've done with your solo album. So I mean, I think it's kind of a really nice tie together of all of your previous influences.
You're very observant. I let everything out. There it is in one song. That's me. Like me or not me, there I am.
Well, we like you.
Yes.
Let's go with that. We'll go with that. No, this is such a fascinating discussion. The album, I think The Promise of the Land is probably my second favorite track. I like Run for the Roses.
Run for the Roses
it's my favorite track. Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
That's the one that got the album started. If Jim hadn't sent that to me as a demo that he did coming back from Milan, Italy, there's no record. Because he sent me some other things. Dan, come on, let's write together. And I thought, there's a Jim Peterik song. That's okay. And then he sent that. And I said, well, let's get together. Let's finish that thing. But I told him, listen, if I can't sing that, I can't sing anything. That's what I told him. And I said, okay. You've got my attention. And then we got in a room and we wrote 8 songs, So by just going, give me, what do you got over? You show me yours, I'll show you mine, that kind of thing. So a lot of this stuff are bits and pieces of things that we had written and discarded that each of us observed objectively in the other and said, wait a minute, why didn't you finish that idea? What if we did this? And that's what a band does, and that's what co-writing is all about, collaboration. You bring out the best in each other, and Run for the Roses is your song, because it's you, baby. Anybody who says, I love that song, it's because I'm telling you your story. And here's what I did. My whole life, I tried to find some chords, and I came up with some good notes to fit on those chords, then I stuck words on them. And I gave you my point of view. And my personal life and the world that I see around me in the hopes that you would find yourself in my story. So I told you Peterik's story and my story. And I believe, you found yourself in it.
I think you're right.
And really, I mean, whose story would I read? Like, what a great story to be a part of. You know, I mean, you and Peterick, I mean, amazing talent. And just so many great songs between you, especially. I mean, that's a great story.
I kept telling Jim this. Jim, tell the truth. You sure? Yeah. They need to hear the truth from you and me. We've lived a life. Okay? We're not rhyming words. We're making important music. I told him that. I didn't know if we were. But, and then we dug down, both of us, together, and came up with the lyrics on that song. And I said, look, he had this initial idea. And I thought, well, that's a great initial idea. Now tell the truth. That's it. Because we don't have anything but our truth and our point of view to give you. And that's what we did. And it's funny, people who are in, people who are in the business of chasing dreams, which you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wrong, am I?
Nope, not at all.
I'm chasing it. Did you listen to Damn That Dream? That's yep. You too. That's you. All my life I have tried to make sense of this dream I'm chasing, trying to silence the voice that's telling me I'm not good enough. That's everybody. Why don't I feel like I'm doing good enough? Why do I keep I'm not making the grade. That fuels capitalism. That fuels consumerism, right? That's the grand illusion. If you just get this car or do that over here, you're going to feel better. You get them and you don't. That's it. And so we're all running, chasing something that we believe will make us feel whole. Make us feel, look, we're human beings. You know what you guys want? What I want. What the people are listening want. They want a pat on the head. They want a tap on the shoulder. Said, you're doing okay, son. I approve of you. I love you. That's what we want. And we go to the extremes to get that. And that's what we're talking about in the lyrics of some of these songs. Is we're human beings after all. And this current thing that's happening right now, scaring the bejesus out of everybody, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise. I don't know at this point. Certainly there's going to be suffering. But what we're finding out is important right now is that thing over there that I'm trying to get is maybe not as important as just getting in my house, being with the people I care about, the people I love, and staying alive and doing our very best now that we're hunkered down here with those we love and not killing each other.
that's the hope, right?
That's a good thing. I think what my takeaway from the entire album was the honesty in the lyrics, the openness that you were able to convey. Because it's difficult to do, and a lot of artists have difficulty doing that. But I mean, when you're as true with your words as what you were in this album, it just resonates that much more.
Well, thank you. Listen, and this is the truth, kids. I have been shocked and humbled by the reaction and the response to this record because I didn't want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank Jim for that. But interview after interview all over the globe, I don't know what happened because I just make shit up. Uh-huh. And it looks like this time I made some good stuff up. You always try to make the best music you can. Nobody's going, I'll just phone this in. Nobody I know does that. And to have the response be the way it has been, I'm still not going to make another one, so stop that.
But, oh, come on.
What are you talking about?
Volume 2. We're waiting for Volume 2.
Yeah, well, that's basically recorded. I'll add a couple songs after listening to hear you guys, which ones you guys like, and say, well, okay, they like that about me, because what am I? I want a pat on the head. What the hell am I doing here? Tell me you love me. Go ahead, tickle my ear. Where are you going? I'm following you. So, I'm shocked. Because I'm listening to the thing, you know, I wrote it, produced it, recorded it, mixed it by myself. And at the end of it, all the joy of the things that were happening for the first time, I listened to my, I kept asking my wife, is this album any good? I mean, what is this crap? Honest to God, you get like that. And then and when people start talking about it in the ways they have been, I think, well, good. That's all I can say. And thank you for your kind words, man. I mean, it's just like, you know, look at, you know the things you've said to me about this music? Imagine if I was saying this to you about your show. You'd you know, you'd go out and you'd get an extra order of fries tonight.
But, you know,
oh, please go ahead, Brad.
Well, no, it's exactly the truth, right? I mean, we all look for those kind of things, and but I do think, especially in the case of your music, I mean, you've managed to hit on something that is right now, and I mean, and how awesome is that?
It's simple, you know. It is just my point is things have gotten so ridiculous that if a guy like me does something as odd as speak common sense, it sounds new. All I'm saying is common sense. And there's such a lack of it in this constant barrage of negativity and anxiety that when somebody just stands up and says, hey, wait a minute, isn't this more like what we've... is this it? That people think, oh, my God, this is good, what he said. I thought, well, I'm not... you know why you like it? I'm saying what you're thinking. Because if I'm saying this stuff and you think, well, this guy's a, you know, he's a douche nozzle. This interview's over 20 minutes ago. Or you're not doing it. But you think, you like it because you found yourself in what I'm saying. And I'm just giving voice musically to what I think a lot of people are feeling. Now, is there a trick to that? How do I know? I didn't want to make this record.
But, you know,
I thought that.
I'm just, we're so glad you did. And more so, like, it's one of those cases, I really think, that right now we need these things. We need these records.
I think we need politicians to say this shit. That's what we need. I'm a singer. For God's sakes, I never saw a song once that changed anything. It made people feel better, maybe think a little bit. But gee, these guys and gals, okay? We need somebody with some common sense that's just going to go up and say, I swear to God, if one candidate went up and spoke like I did on my music, right? And I think it would make a difference. If more people just said, well, come on. The country seems divided. These people are making it worse. If the country is divided, right? Nobody's going to win. There it is. So why don't we have somebody come and say, let me bring some of you from over there and some of you from over there with me, and we'll start something new. We won't worry about the people who are flamethrowers. They'll burn out.
I'm so fascinated by what you're saying. I want to go in so many different directions of so many comments and questions. And you know, I'd love to talk more about the fact that what you're saying represents us. But I want to stick to the album too, and not go off too off far yeah. off topic. So if we can, yeah. if we can, hey, so who else is on this album? And except for Julian Lennon, we'll talk about him in a bit. But
no,
who
no,
else contributed?
Julian Lennon.
People who work cheap. my touring band, they're great. Jim and I played a lot of instruments because we were sitting there and were show offs. Then my son plays drums to the good old days. My drummer plays most of the drums. Did somebody else play drums on this thing?
Oh, I don't think Ed so. Breckenfeld?
Breckenfeld, yes. Ed, he played, what did he play on?
Unbroken.
That's right. Good old Ed. He's played, see, I had to divide this up, right, between two albums because we wrote so many songs, that it played on two tracks on the second album, so I'm confused. And then Mike Aquino, a great guitar player locally, he played some just spectacular stuff. So, you know, the goal was, I told him it was a concept album. Have I told you this before?
No.
Yeah, the concept is don't suck. That's it. That's it. No other concept. And so I brought these, I tried to get the right players to play the right notes on the right songs. And you know, it worked out pretty good. But really, you know, Jim and I, we worked hard for a long time coming up with ideas. And and then I went off on my own and you know, I knew I needed my solo voice on this record. And so I did some stuff just by myself. And you look, once again, Peter doesn't bug me. I don't do it. And truthfully, as I've said a million times, if you hate this record, you blame Jim Peterik. If you love it, I did it all.
No, I'm giving it all to you. All the credit to you. Hello. So, Julian Lennon, as we say, listening to this, it reminded me to go, because I had to be honest with you, I hadn't really thought about him since probably the early 90s. Like, it's been a while, right, since I've kind of been thinking about his music. And I went back and started listening to some of it after listening to this album, and I'm like, damn, I think it's so easy for people to dismiss and not realize just how talented this man is.
Well, he'll be happy that you said it. Me, I think he's annoying. No, he's a professional songwriter. That's what he does. And he's probably written three times as many songs as I have in my life. so yeah, you know, and we have the same sense of humor. He doesn't show it off in public. But, you know, he and I, we are both from the South Side, city of Chicago. And, you know, I think he's 30 years older than me, but don't mention that.
Totally. We won't.
We'll edit that out.
So, you know, we just worked, we worked well together. Well, better get the jewels.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, that's what you want, right? You want to be able to work well together, especially, you know, at a certain point, you got to be able to have fun while you're doing this.
Absolutely. The Julian Lennon duet. I wrote a song for my last album, and it was a tribute to the Beatles, and it was a Beatle ripoff. It's an homage, but I made a Beatley record, and I thought about using someone to sing the vocal in unison with me, and I thought about Julian. And then I about to send the email to ask, and I said, he can't do this. It's not his story, and they'll criticize him, so I went to the piano and I thought, what would it be like if I wrote a song for just he and I? And I thought about his voice, and I was a fan from Velvet because it was out the same time as Desert Moon. And I wrote the song to the good old days. I sent him a demo, just me, not expecting to hear anything because I didn't know him. I never met him. And then he emailed me back and he said he'd be honored to do it. And we met in New York and we sang the thing and I finished the record. And I'm dead. Listen, I love the song. And it's the first single. And kids, in these times, you know, now more than ever, To the Good Old Days is a song that might make you happy. So I'm grateful for Jules for doing this. And it's harmony, baby. We want harmony in life. And this song is about harmony and those two voices, his and mine, coming together. So that's how that happened. So every time the universe does something really crappy to me, I think, well, once in a while, does something really good to me, and this was one of those times.
Yeah, and there's no question. I mean, sounds great. You sound great together.
Yeah, and when that song, when I listened to it, and I went back and listened to it a couple more times, I thought, damn, it's just poignant, is how it came across to me. It's just, again, another fantastic addition to the album.
Well, thank you. You guys, listen, can you put all this on a sample so I can hear it every morning when I get up?
For sure, no problem. Well, you see, you missed the intro where I was going to call you the legendary Dennis DeYoung. So, I mean, it's totally, you know, we'll put that at the back end here. So,
I keep it at the end because everyone's going to go, who is this guy? Why am I listening to this one? And they'll listen to the end to find out if they like me or hate me. And the ones that have always hated me, they say, gee, I kind of liked him when I heard him talk. Now that I know it's him, not so much.
Well, you do have that next interview to get to, unfortunately, you know, and I'm sure it'll be great, but not as good as this one. Let's be honest.
No.
So, it's too bad you got to leave.
Top 10 of all the interviews of all time.
Oh, well, you know, naturally.
See, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
it's six views on YouTube.
All right, that's a step up from our normal three.
send Jody a copy of this, you goofs. And then when I'm bored because I can't leave my house, I'll listen and say, "Oh, I'm so clever."
This is your chance here to tell everybody what is going on. I guess, you know, I know there was that April 3rd. Date was probably canceled. I mean, there's right now more dates scheduled for April. Who knows whether or not they will be able to. But where's the best place for everybody to go to find out about the album, keep up with you? Is it your website, yeah, your Facebook, or what?
I would say the CDC. I'm powerless to do anything as everybody else is. We're waiting for the universe to right itself. When it does, you'll see me. I'll be the one in the middle of the stage with all the light on him. Until then, I got nothing.
All right. Well, I know what we got. We got your album coming out, and that's on April 10th and through Frontiers. And I'm really happy with the album, and I want everybody else to listen to it, because especially right now, we all need something good in our lives, and 26 East is something really good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Dennis DeYoung. All the best. Fantastic interview. We look forward to having you on the show again. And, you know, send Julian an email and tell him to come on the show, too.
Yeah, he'll be there in person.
Okay.
Well, we don't want that. Yeah. All right. We have to feed him.
That's the...
See ya.
All right. Bye for
Bye-bye.
Now.
Thanks.
It's so hard to say goodbye, so I promise not to cry. But any tears that might be shed are only tears of joy. And I thank my lucky stars that we've come so very far, rising up against the odds to where we are today. Though there may be sadness, let's all raise a glass, cheers to us and all that's past. To the good old days, when the world was new, when we still believed dreams could come true. To the good old days, and to all our friends, may the memories several ways, wishing somehow we could stay safe again, so safe again, in all our innocence, when we all would sing along as they played our favorite song, dreaming of tomorrows that seem so limitless. So as we come together, moment last,
here's to us,
yeah, here's to us,
and to the past,
to the good old days, to the sweetest years.
we all fall.